Our Father, thank you for how we can come now and we can pray and ask you to help us as we consider your word this morning. We thank you, Father, for your great word. We thank you that it is eternal, it is never changing, it is real and true. And we ask that you would bless this time we have together looking at your word. Thank you for the time we've had so far. Thank you for the singing of those songs, for honouring the elderly, for all the different parts of the service. And thank you for the proclamation of your word. That's also very important too. And we ask for you to help us to have ears to hear and hearts and minds to obey. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to begin a new sermon series. The last sermon series was the book of Hebrews. And this Sunday is the beginning of a new sermon series. We read Revelation 1. So the sermon series is the book of Revelation. Wow. So how do you feel about that? Now, some of you may be excited. Some of you might be a little bit, being a bit daunted about this. Like, whoa, a bit apprehensive. Because the book of Revelation is a well-known book in the sense of being a book that's a bit hard to understand with all this language in it. And, yeah, so we can have different, experiences. Yes, what do you reckon? So we're going to give it a go though. And it's true, you know, often we have a reaction to the book of Revelation because it's, we think it's about the end times and it's got a difficult and strange language in it. You know, it's talking about angels and living beings and, horsemen, big events occurring when seals are broken and trumpets are blowing. There's a beast and his henchmen. There's bowls of wrath and this great war. All in the book of Revelation. Wow. It can all seem pretty scary and confusing. But let me assure you, it's not God's intention for us to be scared or confused though. He has given us this book of Revelation to bless us and enlighten us. Alright, and we pick up on that in the third verse of Revelation chapter 1. Let me read to you Revelation chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Did you hear what it says there? Blessed. We're blessed by taking hold of the book of Revelation and are reading it this morning and looking into it over these next few months or how long it takes. We're blessed. What a lovely thing it is. There's no other Bible book that has that sort of thing in it. You're blessed by reading this. But we are blessed whenever we read the Bible. But I think God especially wanted us to know you're blessed when you read this book. In other words, read it. Don't be scared off. This is a great book to read. And not only are we blessed as we read it, what else did you pick up? Read it and heed it. It's no good just reading the Bible, you need to heed it. Heed it means taking it in, believing it. And so it's important that we read and heed in order to be blessed. So let's be excited. Are you excited? I am. Oh, I seem to always be excited. But anyway, I'm excited about this great beginning in the book of Revelation. I have been thinking about this for a long time and when I was doing Jude last week, the last part of Jude, I thought, oh, the next book is Revelation. And then the Lord sort of said, Ian, it's time. Wow, really? Alright, so that's why we're starting, sort of give you a bit of a rundown of that. So we're going to be looking at this great book. And let me affirm to you in Revelation chapter 1 verse 3, it says there, in the beginning of it, blessed is the one who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy. It is a prophetic book. It's a book that does speak about the future. And also it says at the end of that verse, the time is near. And I have a little bit of a laugh when I think of that. Wow, in John's time it was near. It's even more near now. And of course there's been things that have been fulfilled and other things that still are to be fulfilled according to God's word. But now I want to tell you something that might be a bit of a shock to you all, and that is, or a surprise, and that is, the book of Revelation is not primarily about the end times. The book of Revelation is not primarily about the end of the world. The book of Revelation is primarily about the Lord Jesus Christ. God uses all the stuff about the end times and the end of the world as a vehicle for him to declare the glory of his own son Jesus. What God is saying to us in the book of Revelation is that your picture, your understanding of Jesus is still not complete. This book finishes it. This book completes the portrait. This book tells you what you need to know about the glory and the majesty of Jesus, which can't be captured just in the Gospels. Wow, that makes this book really special. That's why we should be excited when we think about this book. I want you to remember that as we go through this book, it is about Jesus Christ. How do I know that? It's in the very first verse. In Revelation chapter 1, in the very first line, it says, "The Revelation of Jesus Christ." That's its full title. We call it the Book of Revelation. It should be called the Book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what it should be called. Now, just to think through things, in the Old Testament, is Jesus Christ revealed? Yes. I hope you all say yes. He's seen in the Old Testament. But he's only seen partly. It's like we're looking at Jesus through an opaque window, a window that's dull, because that's what God chose. I like the way how the Apostle Paul puts it in Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. The mystery of Christ was hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been revealed. So the Old Testament definitely spoke of Jesus, but it was like looking through an opaque window. And what about when we come into the New Testament and the Gospels? Was Jesus Christ revealed to us through the Gospels? And we'd have to say, absolutely, he was revealed. But I want to put it to you like this. Jesus Christ was revealed to us in the Gospels, but it's like Jesus with a hood on. And the reason I say that is because when he came to this earth, he actually held back so much. And there's a beautiful verse on that in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, where it says, "Although he existed in the form of God, Jesus did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant." Do you understand what that's saying? He didn't come to earth with blinding glory that was held back. But when you come to the book of Revelation, the window is clear. The hood is off. And we see the Lord Jesus for truly who he is. The Lord of glory. In the book of Revelation, we see incredible things. We see his awesome power. He is calling the shots every time. We see in the book of Revelation the only place where he is called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We see in the book of Revelation where all of heaven falls down before him and worships him. What an affirmation that he truly is God, one with the Father. The book of Revelation is awesome. What a blessing it is to read this great book. And this book is about him. It's about his revealing. And I can't help when I think about this book to say, thank you, Father. Thank you for completing the picture. Thank you for helping us to see Jesus so much more clearly. The next installment on the glory and wonder of Christ will not be until our eyes behold him. Book of Revelation finishes the Bible. This is all we need to know until the time comes when we see him. What a day that will be. But until that time, God has given us all we need, including a full picture of the Lord Jesus. And just picking up on a few things, the book of Revelation begins with that word, the revelation. In the Greek language, the word for revelation is apocalypsis. And it's interesting, apocalypse, right? So straight away we think apocalypse means end times. Apocalypse, end of the world. But it's actually wrong. Apocalypse, apocalypsis, means apo, it means un, and calypsis means, like eucalyptus, that same word is there, that means well covered, calypsis means covering, so apocalypsis means uncovering. I love that. It's an uncovering, it's an unveiling. We have here the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to be looking at this book, and I know this morning we're just going to be looking at the first a few verses, and we're going to begin to consider the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Revelation, and let's begin by looking at the first two verses. We read there, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place. And he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw." Now the first thing that I would like to highlight to you from this passage, I know I've already looked at a Revelation or Apocalypse, but I want you to see how this whole book has been given to us from who? From God. God. It says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants. Who are the bondservants? Us. We're the servants of the Lord. Who gave this revelation? God did. Wow! The giving of this revelation is from God himself. And it's always been like that. In the Old Testament, God gave a certain amount of information about his glorious Son. And then the New Testament, we find, especially in the Gospels, God allowing his Son to do certain things so that Jesus is revealed. And now it's the same thing. God the Father. God the Father is the one who especially is so keen on us seeing Jesus. And he's giving this revelation. It's come from him. I think that's really important to remember. And you know what? That's how the whole Bible is. The whole Bible has come from God. The things that we read here are not the writings and the thoughts and the ideas of human beings. The things we read here are from God. They are from outside our human experience and wisdom and knowledge. And it has to be like that. What do we know about God? What do we know about Jesus really? It has to come from outside us. And that word revelation is used in our English language to speak of that. Where we have something come upon us that is outside our normal human understanding and experience. We talk about that, don't we? Oh, I had a revelation. Something came to me just out of the blue. Well, this revelation has come from God. Just like all the Bible. And I want to affirm to you this. This is a very important thing. The Bible has been written by 40 different authors over a 1600-year period. And even though people say this in the world, you know, it's just written by these people who wrote down a bit of history and wrote down their thoughts and ideas, that is just so wrong. It's so much more than that. These 40 people over a 1600-year period have been moved by God to write down what God has given them to write down. That's what makes the Bible so special, and that's what makes the book of Revelation so special as well. There's a great verse in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. It says, "No prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." That's how it is. So we read here that God gave this revelation to who did he give it to? To his Son. And then Jesus gave the revelation to his angel. And the angel, you see the angel's connection here, when you read through the book of Revelation, the angel then passes it on to John. So God, to Jesus, to Jesus' angel, and then to John. And then of course, what did John do with it? He didn't keep it to himself, no. He passed it on. He passed it on to the seven churches that are in the Roman province of Asia, modern day Turkey. And we'll get to read a message from Jesus to each of those seven churches. And he passed it on, and of course it got written down, and we've got it. We've got the revelation. The revelation, if you have any idea of the Bible, is like such a perfect book to complete the Bible. If you ever read the Bible right through, you read the book of Revelation, instead of getting caught up in all the end time stuff and all the imagery, you realise, wow, this book just ends it. And it especially completes that glorious vision and portrait of Jesus. But it was given by God, this revelation. Wow. And also, let us have a look at who it was given to, John. Which John are we talking about here? Is not John the Baptist? Is John the Apostle? And John is the one who was chosen to receive this revelation. And I love that. If you know anything about the disciples of Jesus, John was the one who was called the beloved disciple. He was the one probably, in terms of an earthly thing, closest to Jesus. And he was the one privileged to receive the revelation. And also, John, when he received this revelation, he wasn't actually, things weren't going too well for him in one sense. It tells us that he was on the island of Patmos. Have a look at verse 9. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Patmos was an island where you would be exiled to when people weren't happy with you. Why weren't they happy with John? Well, what a description. Because he was one who proclaimed the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. He was faithful in doing that. And because of that, he was exiled. But God doesn't stop God working on that island of Patmos. He was so privileged to have this revelation given to him. You know, it's good as we go along just to point out a few things for ourselves. I look at John and I go, wow, what a testimony he is to all of us, isn't he? Are we faithful? Are we faithful in proclaiming the word of God and the testimony of Jesus no matter what? No matter what it means for us. That's how we're meant to be. Not embarrassed, not ashamed of the truth, but declaring it to all people. Okay, so we've seen how the revelation was given. Now let's have a look at a few more verses. We've already looked at verse 3. Let's look at verse 4. And in verse 4 we read, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Alright, so we have here John's greeting and blessing to the seven churches that he is writing to. Now what I want to bring out in this verse is something just beautiful. I love how as John writes this book under the inspiration of the Spirit, and he knows that this book is going to be all about Jesus. Isn't that right? I've said that. We've already seen it. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. But John is so conscious, I hope you are, there is no Jesus. You can't just talk about Jesus without talking about the Father and the Spirit. And I want you to realise that. I know we sing lots of songs about Jesus. And we can talk all about Jesus. But Jesus would be saying to you and to me, it's also about my Father. Do not forget him. It's all about, also about the Spirit. And I love the way that John gives his greeting in the name of the Father, the Spirit, and also the Son. So we're going to learn a lot about Jesus. But Jesus is completely connected. He does everything with the Father and with the Spirit. We're meant to be people who love the Trinity. I love that. I love the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. They work together. They are together all the time. Only at the cross was that time when the Father and the Son were separated. And so even though as we look at the book of Revelation, we're going to see the Father coming into the story. We're going to see the Spirit. So what do we learn here about the Father? We're going to see lots of things about Jesus. I love these opening words. The Father is described as the one who was and who is and who is to come. What a great thing that is. What is that saying to us? He's the eternal one. He spans all of time. Wait a minute, I can't even get that in my head, can you? God spans all of time. Like my brain stalls as I think about way past and way future. But God's in the past and in the present and the future. That's who he is. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? What about verse 8? Verse 8 is about the Father as well. The Father, it says here, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Verse 8 is like God's signature before the rest is given. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Alpha and Omega has the idea of being the one who is everything. He covers everything. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 4, verse 11, we're going to come across a verse where all of the angels in heaven declare to God, Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created. This is the great God. Everything has come into being through Him. God the Father created the world through His Son, but He is the instigator of everything you see. He's the instigator of our salvation. What a great God. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus, and He's the head of the Godhead. And He's mentioned in the book of Revelation. And also, we read about the Spirit. Now, it might sound interesting to see there in our translation, some translations have He's a sevenfold Spirit. Mine has He is the seven spirits. This is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And we need to pick up, the book of Revelation has some imagery there. And the number seven, when you've seen the number seven in the book of Revelation, that means complete and perfect. So what it's saying there is that the Spirit is the complete and perfect Spirit. He is the Spirit of God. He is before the throne of God. And not only is He before the throne of God, as we read through the Bible, we see that He is the one who holds the whole universe together. He is the one who is amazing in glory and power. He's the one who's come to dwell in us if we've opened our hearts to Him. He's the one who raised Christ from the dead, and the Spirit is mentioned. We read about the Spirit in the last book of the Bible. He's also in the first book of the Bible. In the opening words of Genesis chapter 1, we read in verses 1 and 2, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters." There He is. Wow. What a Godhead. Let's talk all about Jesus, but let us remember there is a magnificent Father and a glorious Spirit who also are connected to Jesus absolutely. Alright, now we come to verse 5. And I would have to say to you, verse 5 is the first verse in the book of Revelation where we begin to see Jesus Christ revealed. God wants to tell us more about Jesus. Let's read verse 5. "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to Him who loves us and released us from our sins by His blood." And I've got to say to you, what a verse! What do you reckon? I hope you're really awake now to pick up on these words here, right? Just look at these phrases. The first thing that's said about Jesus is that He is a faithful witness. I can't help but say, amen. What a faithful witness Jesus has been. And I particularly think about when He came into our world. Do you realise that everything He taught us, every word that came from His mouth was absolutely true, and not only that, it was faithful to what God had told Him to declare. Jesus even said that, "I don't even speak my own words, but the words that the Father has given me to speak." And God the Father looks at His Son and says, "What a faithful Son. Absolutely faithful." And we're going to come across some great verses about this. Even in the book of Revelation, it says in verse chapter 19, verse 11, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and one who sat upon it, who is called Faithful and True." Who is this one on a white horse leading the armies of God? It is Jesus. Look at His title, Faithful and True. Absolutely faithful and true. What a faithful witness Jesus was. And I can't help but think, friends, this is really important. Everything that Jesus has declared to us, including through His apostles, everything that we read in the Bible is absolutely true and certain. You can base your whole life upon it. It's faithful and true. Jesus even says in Matthew 24, verse 35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will never pass away." You're not being foolish, putting all your eggs in one basket, putting your whole life, making your whole life based upon this book. It's absolutely faithful and true. That's why we encourage you to read it, to take it in. It's truth. Jesus has given us a faithful declaration. He is a faithful witness. What about the next part in that verse? It says that he's the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. Wow, what a great declaration of Jesus. He is the firstborn. The first one, what are we saying here? The first one what? He wasn't resuscitated. Other people have been resuscitated even before him. He is the first one to conquer death. He's the first one to have his body absolutely transformed so that now it is forever living and glorious, never gets old. It's perfect and beautiful for all eternity. He was the first one to have that body. When did he get that body? On the Sunday morning of his resurrection. Wow! The disciples and Mary and these ladies, they saw the glorious body of Jesus. And why is he called the firstborn? Because there are others who will also have that experience of having a resurrected body. Who are they? Oh, that's us lot. If we love Jesus and trust in him. Just thinking of Jesus, not too far away from verse 5, in verse 18, Jesus says these words to John. Revelation 1:18, I am the living one, and I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. That's the firstborn from the dead. And let me read to you what's going to happen to us when Jesus returns. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 to 17, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. That's when we shall be resurrected. He is the firstborn from the dead. And because of him, we also look forward to the day when we shall be resurrected. We might die, but our bodies will be resurrected. Or we might be here when the Lord returns and will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and our bodies will be transformed and be forever bodies. Wow. These are great things, aren't they, to look at? Alright, what about the next one? In verse 5 it says that he is the ruler of the kings of the earth. He is the king. God has appointed his son to be our king, not just our saviour. He isn't just the king of the church, he is the king of the whole universe. And I can't wait to that great verse we get to in Revelation 19, where we read in verse 16, and on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who Jesus is. It's true that at the moment he is ruling, but he hasn't put everything under his rule. He is allowing a lot of freedom. He is allowing a lot of free will. He is allowing a lot of people to do their own thing, but bang, one day it's going to stop. And he's going to rule absolute. Then we'll come into a time of absolute righteousness and peace. Boy, am I longing for that day. At the moment, it's like living in a pit. But God and Jesus are still ruling. And the day will come when he will rule over everything. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Philippians chapter 2, 10 and 11 tells us this. It hasn't happened yet. It says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wow, the day is coming. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What great truths we have here. What great revealings God the Father has given us about his Son. But there's one more in verse 5. I'm going to finish on this one. It goes on to say at the end of verse 5, to him who loves us and who has released us from our sins by his blood. Oh, I love that verse, that part of the verse. We see such big things, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, and then I see something so touching toward us. And it's to do with his love for us. It doesn't say, I want you to pick up on this, it doesn't say who loved us in a past tense. It's written in present tense because he continues to love us. This Jesus, he didn't just love us on the cross, he continues to love us. Remember through the book of Hebrews, we saw how he intercedes for us from the throne. What a love. He's waiting for us to come home to glory, to be welcomed in. What a love he has for us. Think about how amazing that love is. Because if you have any idea of your own life, and you know, we're so unworthy of his love. We fail him. We're so up and down. But he loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love. That's something that should always touch your heart. There's never a time when you will be out of his hands. He loves you, even when you are sinning against him. Even when you've turned your back on him. Even when you are living like a worldly person. If you are the Lord's, he still loves you. He'll do other things, of course, to convict you of your sin and bring you back. But he loves you. Friends, I want you to hear that word. He loves you. See, the Gospels are about what Jesus did for us. His revelation. He loves you. That's a great thing to know. I know the Apostle Paul brings that out too in Romans chapter 8. He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. Praise his name. But in this verse 5, it also says something very precious. He loves us, but we can't help but remember the time when he loved us. What is mentioned at the very end of verse 5? It's the cross. How he loved you and me. How he shed his blood for you and me. Us sinners. And look how what it says. Who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. I think that phrase there, for me, captures the essence of the cross. What is the cross all about? What did Jesus do for you and I? The big thing that he has done for us, as it says there, through the shedding of his blood, by him laying down his life on the cross for us, he has released us from our sins. What a phrase, what a word. You're released. Doesn't that make you feel so joyful? All the sin and shame you've done, you've been released from. What have you been released from? Not just the sin, you've been released from the consequences of sin. Tell you what, Revelation is full about what happens to those who are sinners who haven't come to Jesus. There's stuff in there about the judgment and the wrath of God. But we have been released from it. We've been released from everything we've done against God. We've been freed from every sin we've done. We are going to face no consequences for every wrong thing we've done because we've been released by Jesus because of the blood he shed for us. Wow, what a saviour. All my past, present and future sins, everything has been done. I have been released. Praise his name. Well, that's just the beginning of Revelation. God the Father, he just wants to tell us all about his great Son. He wants us to love his Son, to fall down in worship of him. And if we're not even a Christian yet, to give our life to him by simply saying, Lord Jesus, please save me a sinner. Please come into my life. That's what he wants us to do. Well, he is the firstborn from the dead, the faithful witness, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and above all, which is so special to us, the lover of our soul. Our Father, thank you for how we can open this to this book, the book of Revelation, and we can just be so blessed today, just looking at these opening words. Father, we thank you for how you were pleased to give this revelation to your Son, who passed it on to us. Thank you that you are so keen for us to know the wonder and the glory of your Son. Help us not just to be acquainted with the Saviour Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. Help us to be acquainted also with how he is the King, how he is the ruler of all things, how he is the worship of heaven, and how he is the Saviour who will one day come and take us into his glorious presence. May our eyes be opened more and more to Jesus. As we go through this book, may we be so blessed indeed. May we be those who love your Son so much more and who live for him on this earth. Do any of us here who we don't really get it yet? Because the devil, you know, he just messes our mind up with about your Son. Lord, open our eyes. Help us to see how much we need your Son. Help us to open our heart to him who is the lover of our soul. Please would you help us to come to him by faith. Yeah, we thank you for this special time we've had today. Thank you, Father, for your presence with us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.